It's good to be back with you. You know, I get a little stage fright, I guess. I haven't been preaching in churches for quite some time, but every once in a while, Kamloops calls. And so here we are. But it's good to be here. It's good to see y'all. And I'm not Southern Baptist when I say y'all. I mean all of you. Okay. But it is good to be here and still see some of the old faithfuls. But better yet, it's to see the new ones. There's quite a few new people here that I haven't had the privilege of meeting. And they're kind of small families. Not very big, but they're small this way. They're small this way, but not this way. Huh? Anyway, it's good to be with you. God bless. We're going to look at the scriptures this morning on Preach the Word. That's what God has called us to do. We that are born again Christians know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to preach the word. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternity is a long time. And we're all going to spend eternity somewhere. So sometimes we need to be reminded of how important it is to not only talk the talk, and we need to walk the walk. Do what is necessary as well as speak what is necessary. And I've told you before, I guess, my father was a Christian for many years. He walked the walk, but he seldom talked the talk. I don't know of too many people. As a matter of fact, I can't name any that got saved from my father's testimony because he didn't speak it, but he lived it. And so he didn't take away from the gospel. So we need to not only walk it, we need to talk it. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 is our text today. Second Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you, Father, for the growth we see here. And we thank you for your word that we can preach. And Father, we can fellowship around your word this morning. Lead, guide, direct, Father, as we serve you here. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Be instant in season and out of season. You know, we call ourselves Christians, and we need to be Christ-like. That's what the word means. And not just on Sunday morning. You don't get up Sunday morning and put on your suit and tie and your fine dress and go to church. Go home, take your necktie off, hang it in the closet, and go back into the world till next Sunday. That's not what it's about. We're to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You never know who might be watching. And I've told this story before, but there's new people here, but I had an uncle that lived next door to us. When I was growing up, they had an acreage that they divided between my uncle and my father. And I became a Christian when I was 30 years of age. And so I went home. I went home on a Sunday. My parents were Christians, but my uncle, I don't believe, was. He claimed to be a Christian later on in life. But anyway, we got up Sunday morning and got in the old car and drove up to the community church. And I went to church with my parents. And it happened to be open day of hunting season. I like to hunt. And I always went hunting on opening day. And I didn't know. But my uncle was watching. And I went to church with my parents. And he told me years later that that made a real impression on him, that something had happened in my life. Because I love to hunt, and the opening day of hunting season, I went to church. Didn't know he was watching, so we never know. Our testimony is so important. We need to preach the word, not only by verbal, by mouth, but we need to do it by our life and our very actions. To whom should we preach? Well, the Apostle Paul preached to many different people. He preached to Festus and Felix and Agrippa. And old Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Because Paul preached to all that he came across. He preached in the synagogues. He preached to the man on the streets. You see, we need to live it. We preach the word by what we do as well as what we say. There was a mayor in Rosslyn that I was privileged to lead to the Lord. And I can remember that. So when he accepted Christ, he laid flat out on the floor. I've never seen a man do that before. Oh, God, forgive me my sins. which are many. And he accepted Christ. Well, that was a real blessing. The mayor of Rossel. And John Romphal, he was a banker. And I was privileged in leading John to the Lord. And he said, well, his family got saved and was in our church, and he came to their baptism. And he said, boy, you really make a commitment when you get saved in this church, you know, when you become a Christian. And he was a banker, and he was being transferred, and he came, and he says, I want to get saved and baptized and join this church before I leave. So you never know who it might be, the banker or the mayor of a town, or maybe when I went to Walla Walla, Washington, which is the state prison of the state of Washington, and we had a week of meetings down there in the prison, and I was privileged to lead a 43-year-old man that had been in prison for 19 years to lead him to Jesus Christ. So we need to be instant in season and out of season, preach the word, live it, but not only live it, but speak it and tell others how they too might find Christ in their life. Well, if we have a real concern for souls, we're busy about our Father's business. The Bible says occupying. If we're occupying, we won't have the time nor the inclination to fuss about our own troubles and sorry for our own lot in life. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves complaining because of this or that, some small thing in my life. And then we see a man without any feet or any legs. We see people that are far worse off than we are. Everybody here ought to be praising the Lord and not feeling sorry for ourselves because of what happens. Now, I know that there's things happening in our lives and in the lives of some of you people in this church that are not happy occasions. We don't understand everything that happens, but God does. And if we'll just leave it in God's hands, then he'll do that which is right. I complained because I had no shoes. And then I met a man that had no feet. Always somebody worse off than we are. Somebody else that's... and yet, you know, I can think back years ago when I... before I became a Christian, I lived in Spokane, Washington, and we went up to the mall, and here goes this old 39 Chevrolet, kids sticking out of every window, and you know, you could tell they didn't have any money, they were poor folk, but they were happy. Everybody was just joyful in that car, and it, I don't know, there must have been six or eight kids in there with mom and dad, this old Chevrolet. And that really made an impression on me that these people, even in their condition, were happy. So God knows. And I've found out, too, through experience, that if I do what I'm supposed to do, God does what he's supposed to do. And he takes care of the details. Sometimes we don't know, you know. I've had a couple, three experiences in my life that was pretty tough. Pretty hard to take, you know. I stood with a preacher one time against the school board. We had a Christian school. And the school board was all my best friends. They all turned on me because I stuck with the pastor. The pastor made a decision of letting the school board go, and he and the principal would run the school. And there was 135 kids in that school. And that's what the paper said. That's what you're supposed to do. So he was doing what was right, and the school board had been running things and the church, and they got really upset. And they left. They all pulled out their kids, and the school fell apart, and the church went from, I don't know, a couple of hundred people down to less than, I don't know, 50 or so. Things didn't look too good, you know. And then I hear rumors about me and things that weren't true coming from my best friends. That was a hard time. And my wife finally said, either you go down there and take care of those two guys that are spreading this. You go down and talk to them, or I'm going to. So I did. And they apologized. And we hugged and made up. And Half House became my very best friend until the Lord called him home. So sometimes we go through deep water. Sometimes there's things that we don't really understand. And there's some of you here today that are going through some hard times. And we don't understand that. You just keep on keeping on, and God will take care of the details. Okay? Well, that was the beginning of my message. I got Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Acts 20 and verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. This is Paul. He never kept back anything from them. And in verse 27, he goes on to say, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so we need to take an example from the Apostle Paul and not shirk our duty as a Christian to keep back anything from those around about us, but to always preach the whole counsel of God, not just a portion. Okay, well, I don't want to preach that because it might offend. Well, if the gospel offends, let it offend. If I offend, then I'll apologize. If it's from Bob Hawkins. But if it's from the gospel, then let it offend. Let it do its job. And in Psalms, the first Psalms, we're all familiar with that one, I'm sure. But rather than to misquote it, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be planted like a tree. Or he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And he bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. I think we can still apply Psalms 1 to us. Blessed is the man. You know, my nose starts running before the tears do, but so you'll have to forgive me for that. It's just part of my makeup. I got it from my daddy, I guess. So, in Psalms 23, we're all familiar with that one, I'm sure. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We should memorize that 23rd Psalm and apply it to our lives. Know that no matter what happens here, no matter the trials and the tribulations, that one of these days when the Lord comes, I'm going to go and be with him and be in his house forever. What a blessing. So I can go through the few trials that I have here in order looking toward the future. Another scripture that's familiar to us is Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And thou, then thou shalt make my way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Promise of God, this book of the law shall not depart from me. You know? And you want to be successful? You want to be prosperous? Then keep the word of the law. Keep God's word. And he'll take care of the details. I haven't got time to go through all the different experiences that I've had in the last, 58 years since I've been saved. But God has taken care of the details. Sometimes you're being tested and tried. There's things that are happening in your life. And I don't know what's going on in Kuiper's life today, but they're being tested. But I see them all here. You see, they're still here in church. They're still looking to the Lord. And whatever Jared's problem is, we pray that it'll get fixed. But if it doesn't, and the Lord does decide to take him home, then we need to accept that as well. You know, even in the hard times. Because we think of people in the Bible, you know, that went through some pretty hard times, don't we? And yet they came out victorious. We need to love God. We need to meditate upon God's word. Most of all, put it to practice. Not just read it and meditate, but put it to practice. Don't put your necktie on Sunday morning and then take it off and hang it in the closet for the rest of the week and not serve the Lord. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service when you're born again into God's family. In Psalms 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." 119, verses 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So the word is so important. And today, I don't know how many different Bibles there are out there, but stick to the old KJV. It's got a few words that are archaic, and they're in the dictionary. You can look them up if you don't understand just what it's saying. But don't go to these new Bibles, because they don't necessarily teach something wrong. They just leave out a lot of things that are right. They leave things out. I've got a list at home, I don't know, many, many things that they leave out of the Scripture. So, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And we have it between the pages of this book. And no, I don't understand it all. And every time I read through it, which I do every year, I find something new. Guess what? The Lord enlightens me about something else that I hadn't noticed before. And what a blessing that is, you know. Well, our path is so very important. But sometimes persecution will drive us from it. Be careful. Sometimes pleasures will tempt us from it. The pleasures of this old world. Sometimes self-will. The old flesh gets weary on it. And gets weary in well-doing. Huh? Well, the Lord will bless if you just stay with it. Be not weary in well-doing, Galatians 6:9 tells us. The believer endeavors to stay on it to the end. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, better get back in my New Testament here. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. You could probably quote it. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer or allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with that temptation, make a way of escape that you're able to bear it. So there's not a person here today that can say that it just was too tough. I could not handle it any longer. Because God knows your limitations. He knows my limitations. He's never tried me too often, too far. But he knows our limitations. And so we can trust his word. When things happen in our life, and as it does occasionally, we know that God is there. He's in control. And he'll not allow something to happen that you're not able to handle or to live with. And, you know, it's we think of I believe in the providence of God. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan for this nation. He has a plan for the world. Our obligation is just to keep walking. Keep walking. You know, if you're walking this way and the door shuts in your face, God's saying go another direction. Just change direction. So keep going. And God will direct your path. We walk by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith. There's not a person here that's ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a person here that's ever heard him audibly. But we hear him from his word. We hear him from actions and things that happen in our life. He directs our paths. And what a blessing to serve the Lord and let him direct my path instead of me. I get in trouble. I get in deep water sometimes when I try to do my own thing. But just read his word, trust God, and he'll direct your path. Well, we think of some things. How about the Holocaust? That wasn't a very pleasant time for the Jew. There was like 6 million of them killed in my own Hitler in the World War II. That was tough going. And they went back down to their homeland. And of course, the Arabs were dominant there, and they were killing them and chasing them around, but they stayed. And they stayed. And they went through hard times, and they gave them the worst of the land. And they drained the swamps, and they irrigated, and they planted. And today, it's a very prosperous little country. God has blessed that country. Now, they're not Christians, you know, for the most part. And they're going to go through some hard times again. Two-thirds of them is going to die, according to the scriptures, before one-third turns to Jesus Christ for that thousand-year millennial reign. So the Jews, we're seeing a miracle today because that little country and what it's gone through and how they should have. I mean, the Six-Day War was a great example, you know, when they were outnumbered 10-1, and or more than that, I guess, but they won because God interfered. So we think of them in the Holocaust. Think of Joseph in Egypt. We all know the story of Joseph, how he was sold into slavery by his brothers, and they went home and told their dad that animal had got him and killed him, brought his blood-soaked clothes home. Joseph was sold. He went into to foreign country. He wound up in prison. He was in prison for some time, I don't know, several years. You can just think, what was Joseph thinking, you know? And yet he was God's chosen vessel. And Joseph finally was called to decipher a dream. And he did. He deciphered that dream, and then they took him out of the prison, and they dressed him up and put a gold chain around his neck, and he became second in command of Egypt. He went some deep water. But he survived it, and he wound up in charge. So sometimes we have deep water in our lives, and sometimes we don't understand. I'm sure Joseph didn't understand when he told the butler to go and tell him that he was in prison for the wrong thing. He was not even a criminal, but he got thrown in there because a woman lied about him. That guy forgot all about him. So he was in there for another long time, and then finally one day he remembered. There's a guy in jail that could decipher dreams. So the old king brought him out and made him what he was. Well, we think of Joel Michelle. I don't know whether you knew Joel. We did. He was married to one of our girls in our church, and they had three children. Went over to Holland as a missionary. They were just there a few short months, and he was killed in a car wreck. Now, his wife is back in Ontario with three kids to raise. We don't understand that. Why? This young man that was a missionary, loved the Lord, went to the mission field, and died. But someday, we'll understand. We don't right now understand what God is up to there. And we can do the same for Jared Kuiper. You know, he has Lyme's disease and maybe something more serious. But we have to leave it in God's hand. Trust the Lord. Because Jared knew the Lord. He served the Lord. Pastored a church. Was raising his family, a Christian family. So we can't do anything about it. I know that the family is concerned and Daddy is back there with him, and that's good. But we have to leave it in God's hands. No matter what happens, we don't want to be discouraged. And like a lot of people, then they turn their back upon the Lord and say, well, he did this or he did that to me. But he's in control and he knows what he's doing, and it always turns out for the best. In Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6, familiar portion of Scripture, verses 33 and 4. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I can stand before you here today and say, when I'm trusting the Lord and serving him to my best ability, that he takes care of the details. He does. I haven't preached probably since the last time I was here. I'm not filling pulpits anymore. They think I'm too old. But I'm just a kid yet. I'm not as old as John. I'm only 83. And my memory's gone, but my love for the Lord hasn't. And for these people here in this church, I've been here a number of times. And it's good to see the old faithfuls still here. And some new old faithfuls that we lost that are here. And a couple of young men that we lost from Castlegarth are here serving the Lord. So it's good to come. And, of course, the Kuipers been here forever. And them and their family, I've learned to know them and love them. So it's good. I'm glad you called and was able to come. In Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes in the last chapter and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's your whole duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We need to have a reverential fear of God. And things will just work out. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to live each day as if it were our last day. Now just think about it. If this was your last day and you knew that the Lord was going to call you home tomorrow, what would you do in that 24 hours? I doubt that you'd go home and put your feet up and watch the news. I think probably you would go to Aunt Susie and Uncle Bill and Grandma or Grandpa or the neighbor and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and His sacrifice for them. And so we need to live our life as though we were living in our last day. Let your imagination run away with itself and think what you would do in that last day. Well, we're to love His Word. We're to hide His Word. We're to meditate on His Word. We're to study His Word. We're to believe His Word. And then we're to practice His Word. And you will be happy, prosperous, successful, content, and receive all the blessings of God. Can't beat it. If you just do what God would have you to do, He'll take care of the details. Do the whole counsel of God. Don't pick and choose a part. Occupy till I come. Occupy until I come. Being busy and doing business with God. We can't tack Christianity onto the end of our life. It doesn't work that way. It is our life. If you claim to be a Christian, then you are Christ-like. And so I'm glad you called me to come. And it's been a blessing to see old friends and a privilege to preach God's Word. Nothing new under the sun. It's all been said before and done before. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of what God has done for us and that we can appreciate it and serve Him to the best of our ability, regardless of the problems, regardless of what might happen in our normal life. Keep serving Him, and He'll work out the details. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this time that we've had. Pray Your blessings upon this church. Father, just be with Pastor as he's away. Give him a good time and fellowship with the where he's at there in the east. We pray, Father, for the Kuiper family, that You'll comfort them and guide them. And we pray for Jared, that You'll just heal him up, bring him back to us. And then, Father, just bless this church as it serves You here in this community. It's good to see new people. We pray that it'll continue to grow and prosper. And my, so many children, Father, we're so thankful because not many churches have children anymore. Just us old people. So we're thankful for this work here and pray You'll continue to bless as they serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our song leader is going to come and lead us in the closing hymn.